Guatemala, and our superintendent said, you know, if you was at Pastor Jack's church, he'd say, do you have your Bible? He said, if you was at Pastor Alex's church, the other pastor that went with us, he'd say, do you have your Bible? And I like what Pastor Alex said. He said, if you're here tonight and you don't have your Bible, just scoot over by somebody that's saved and look on their Bible. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can give what it says I can give. In Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 31, I want to talk to our moms today. And I'm going to steal something. It's okay to steal if it's good, okay? I'm going to steal Adam's phrase. And I don't know what he preached to you all last week because I wouldn't hear it, how he used this. Let it be said of us. But I like that title. When I pulled up and I saw that, when I got back into town and I saw that title, I thought, I like that. And I began to think about the title of today's message. And I thought, I'm going to do this with all of our moms. When I talk about the virtuous woman, and whether it fits you or not, you can say by faith, let it be said of us. Okay, so all the moms, are you with me? Let me hear you say, let it be said of us.
Let it be said of us.
That's pretty good. That kind of sounds like you believe it. But I want you to say it like you mean it, all right? And then before we get to our scripture text, in the backing up a few verses, in chapter 10, he talks about a good wife is more precious and more valuable than fine gems. And all the women said, let it be said of us. Come on, let's do it in unison.
Let it be said of us.
And then it says in verse 11, they're trustworthy and they're really all that their husband ever dreamed of having in a woman.
Yeah,
that sounds better. And then and my wife is definitely that. I mean, all that's what I miss most about Oklahoma was her. You know, I think I could go on a 2 or 3 week mission trip if I can take her. So that's what I miss. She's trustworthy. She's all that I've dreamed of. Verse 12, she compliments and completes her husband. You're getting weaker. Come on now. Verse 13, she's a seamstress. She can sew and... And if you can't, that's faith. Remember, you're talking about faith. You know. And then in verse 14, she's an excellent cook. There you go. And then in verse 15, she's a woman of vision. She prepares and she plans. That was Summers. That's some of you missed a great opportunity. She's a woman of vision. She prepares and plans. And I thought, bless her husband's heart, because she's got a plan. But I found out most of you ladies do have a plan. It comes to your house and the things that you that really catch your heart and your family and what they should look like and act like and smell like and all that stuff. You've got a plan. So, and then 16 through 22, there's a lot of things in there. She's energetic. She's a hard worker. And she's a bargain hunter. You know, some momentum picking up right there. And she blesses the poor. She's strong and dignified. She doesn't fear old age. Merle Norman. Elizabeth Arden. All that kind of stuff. You don't fear it, but isn't it a pain? Just a pain. And then it says they're wise, they're kind, and they keep a watchful eye over their household. Amen. Let it be said of us. And then in verse 28, it picks back up and it says, her children rise up and call her blessed.
Let it be said of us.
Amen. Have your children ever called you anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? When you keep sowing good seeds every day, somewhere they'll get their brain back and they'll call you blessed. Amen. Because sometimes it's hard being a mother, isn't it? Sometimes you got to say no, and sometimes when everybody else's curfew is at 12 or 1 and theirs is not, and they don't understand. You ever been there? Yeah. So well, everybody else stays out at 12. Well, you don't, so everybody don't. Those are hard things, aren't they? And so they're not always, they may not always call you blessed, but when you're planting, you get up every day and we're talking about just planting those good seeds, just wait, they'll call you blessed. Because someday they'll realize that, you know what, that's what a good mother does. Good mother has to make tough decisions sometimes. Then it says her husband also praises her and blesses her. And all the women said, and all the men said, amen. Amen. And then it says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all.
Let it be said of us.
Amen. Give you something to shoot for, ladies, young ladies. And it says, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Let it be said of us.
Amen. Amen. Now, what I want to talk to you about is a couple other virtues, and I won't hold you very long today, but a couple other virtues that I want to talk to you about. Number one is patience. Because I've just made an observation that sometimes when you ladies are preparing and you have a vision, sometimes it's very difficult to have patience. Would you agree? When you can see it so closely and whatever it is you're pursuing, maybe it's a home, it's a car, it's maybe another husband. That's a bad joke for Mother's Day, but yeah. Whatever you're pursuing, well, sometimes you lose your husband. He goes on to be with Jesus, and the Bible says in that case, you're not under bondage anymore. Bondage anymore. And you can go find you another bondage if you want to. And so sometimes, you know, there's things that happen. But whatever you're pursuing, I want to give you this one. Have patience. In fact, that's one virtue I think that James mentions where it's very profound. He says, James 1:3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So you're having to wait on something, and sometimes we want to, how many has ever tried to help God along? Well, I've gotten so much trouble trying to help Jesus. Jesus just—he just don't need our help, does he? And as a mother and a homemaker, sometimes you can just see it, and you know it's ready, and you know it. And so we start trying to do things to help Jesus along. He says, "But let patience have its perfect work." In other words, he's got a plan, so don't try to add to his plans, Mom. But that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so, I want to encourage you today to have the patience of Sarah. Remember Sarah, Abraham's wife? And they had left Haran when she was like 65 years old. And he had got a promise from God that said, I will make you, Abraham, a father of many nations. And so she's already 65 years old and she's not had any children since Sarah was barren and hadn't had any children at 65. And God keeps prompting her husband that he's going to make him the father of many nations. And so Sarah is going to have to be very patient because she's not going to have a child until she's 90. But guess what? Miss Sarah, at 90 years old, not only has a child, she can laugh about it. Now that's patience, isn't it? How many thinks at 90 you might have a hard time thinking that's very funny? I saw a mother on TV a year or so ago, and she had she was 64. Told her doctor she was like 55 or something, and so he went ahead but she had a child, a healthy child, and the doctor didn't know. No one knew until after she had the child and it was healthy that she was 64 years old. So there's still some of the older moms having children that says, you know, I just want to be fulfilled and have a child. But she was 90 years old. And she was kind of nervous about it. But, you know, to let patience have her perfect work. And you say, yeah, but you know what, Pastor? She wasn't all that patient because 10 years, remember what she did 10 years into their journey? She got to thinking, I can help God out. And remember what she did? She said, I've got this good-looking handmaiden, this servant named Hagar. And here's what I want to show you, ladies. You need to be patient because you are a great influence on your husband. One of the greatest influencers in this earth is her, is my wife. I never forget when we stopped doing Sunday night services. I thought, you know, we had a very small crowd, and it's just the ones that came look wore out. And I read one day, it said, keep the Sabbath holy and rest. And I thought, well, let's just pray about having church in the morning and rest in the afternoon. It's a biblical principle. We have church, we meet, we gather, and it's a tradition that we've always had. And I noticed some of the other churches that were thriving, that's what they had gone to because of schedules and weekends, and it gave the business people and working people the Sunday afternoon off. And so I prayed about it for almost a year because that's a strong tradition that's been in our church for a long time. And so I prayed about it, and then I had the elders pray about it, and then I told her about it, and she was one of my biggest opponents. I mean, just, you know, that tradition. But my wife is very routine. She likes her routine. She gets a routine. Our kids were so routine. You know, they had the routine. They knew what door mom was dropping them off of at school. They knew what they was getting for breakfast. They knew the schedule. They knew the routine. They knew when bedtime was. And that worked well for our family because she has a routine. And I'm just like, whatever. When we get there, we're there. When we're not, you know, we go to bed when we're tired. We eat when we're, you know. And so that kept a balance in our relationship. But when I said, we're not having Sunday night service, her question to me was this: are you sure you're even called to pastor anymore? And I'm like, oh Jesus, am I called anymore? Because that's the influence she has. Remember the first woman to influence the first man? Adam and Eve. Eve took the fruit that God said, don't eat of that tree. And it wasn't Adam, it was the woman, wouldn't it, that picked the fruit and said, I'm going to eat. And she began to eat the fruit and she gave to her husband. And you know what he did? He ate. And the reason I want to talk to you about patience today is because you are the greatest influencer probably in the world, or one of the higher influencers in your husband's life. Because he knows you know him. He knows you know your his faults and his flaws and his weaknesses. And he knows that you're still with him. And so all that and loving him and caring for him. And so when you speak, you need to speak with wisdom. And you need to have patience in decisions being made because you're a great influencer in your husband's life. Let me tell you a story about a friend of mine. And when we first started our church, he came over to the little church on 59th and Harvey, and it was a really old building, musty building, and nothing worked really well in the building. It leaked terribly. That's why it always smelled. Almost every Sunday I'd be preaching and acoustic would fall off the ceiling. Look like little feathers falling. And after church we looked like we had dandruff or something, you know, because it would just fall on her. But we was happy and we was growing. But I'll never forget, he came by one day. His name is Ernie. And he was a heat and air guy. And he was working on our old furnace. And he began to talk to me about, because I just started the pastorate, and I was attending the church, and I was an associate pastor and a youth pastor where he was still attending. And so he came over, and he was talking to me as he was working on the furnace, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, you know what? Love your wife, but follow God, and make sure that you obey God. And he told me the story. He said, you know, when I was a young, energetic Christian, he said, I was out at this little country church, and he said, my wife and I were there, and he said, and I noticed he always loved music. In fact, years ago, he said, he was a businessman, he said, if you guys want to, I'll front you the money. And I'm not sure why we didn't do it, but he offered to front us the money to make a CD way back when. And we didn't take him, but I noticed he loved it, and if we were ever singing in the area, he'd come and listen to us. And you never know why somebody does that, but he told me that day, he said, you know, he said, we were at a little church, and he said, revival broke out, and I was leading the singing. He said, and every night it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and he said, God was anointing me to sing, and the power of God would fall. And he said, one night in the midst of revival, my wife came to me and said to me, she said, we're not doing this anymore. It's wearing me out. And you can either come home tonight and quit this, or you can not come home at all. And he said, man, I thought, what do I do? And he said, so I told the pastor I can't lead praise tonight and I won't be back. And I went home. He said, and after that, he said, God took that anointing off of me to sing. And tears rolling down his face, he said, and I'm not able to sing like I used to. He said, but I have a heart for it. And he said, just follow the will of God. And I thought, wow, here's a young wife that just really... I'm not blaming her, because there's times when God will allow things in your relationship. And let me tell you young people something. There's times when I believe God will cause friction in your relationship just to grow and help you get in position. One of the greatest battles we ever fought was after I became a Christian, or a devout Christian. Jenna and I started going back to church and getting that settled. You know, me being a zealot for the Word of God and neglecting family. And trying to find our positions and leading our home, because I'd always allowed her to lead our home because she's just a better leader than me, and so that role changed, and God began to change that in us. And man, that was just like what are you doing? That's my position. You know, you appointed me, elected me, now you're trying to dethrone me here. And so that was a very hard time. But I think what happens is when we're trying to be sold out to God and serve Him, He'll allow friction to come. And how many knows what happens when friction comes? Things heat up. That's why you need the anointing oil. To cut down on the friction. And He just allows it. It's not that it's bad. It's not bad. In fact, if you have a good fight, the best part's making up. You can just make up. But what you need to realize is this. If there's friction in your home, there's also the will of God that wants to be in the middle of that. And so I was young and zealous and very ignorant. And so that was a struggling time in our life. But I want you to know this, that you're an influencer in your home. And what you say can change the tide. Now here's the problem. God has said and appointed every husband as the head of the home. And when He speaks to us as head of the home, not as some kind of ruler, He said we're to rule with love. Love like Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. And how many, I've never seen a woman yet that just said, well, quit loving me. I just hate it when you love me like that. Is there any women that just hate that? I don't think so, is there? No. So when we rule with love and lead with love, they're not opposed to that. But there may be a time when God will show you, just like He showed me with that Sunday night that He didn't show her at first. And she didn't get the understanding of it. Now, you ask her today, does she enjoy that? And your answer would be what?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, she enjoys that evening and time together, and sometimes we'll be at home and we'll go ride our horses or just hang out together, or, you know, just doing something fun and relaxing, and so she can see that now. But what if I'd have said, you know what, she is so adamant about this that I think we better refigure and continue to have service. Now, would it have been, it wouldn't have been sin or anything, but it wouldn't have been the will of God for our particular church. And was she living for God? Of course. That's why she questioned, are you even called anymore? And was I serving God? Yes. But He put that in there. And so what I'm saying, ladies, when God is leading, allowing your husband to lead you, maybe into something new, and it's something that could be godly, it's certainly not sin. He'll never lead your husband to lead you in sin. But when He's turning a different direction to lead your home, you may want to say, well, I'll have patience because I want Him to lead. I want Him to... My sister called me a while back, one of my sisters, and she said her husband that's not he don't go to church and he doesn't profess to be Christian or not, but she said, you know, said he says, I worry all the time and I stress and I need to quit. I said, that's good preaching. Why don't you go tell him? You're absolutely right. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I thank you for giving me that and encouraging me in that. And that's biblical. And you're trying to follow good biblical principles. And I just thank you from the bottom of my heart. And pray for me that I won't worry anymore. See, that's the way to win the lost. In fact, if you go over to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, he talks about the women being a great influence on their husband. And he said, your influence is so powerful, and in fact, that he said, just by your behavior and your conduct, you can win the lost husband. That's powerful influence, isn't it?
Amen.
Not with words, just by your behavior and your conduct, you can win your husband to the Lord. That's what she did, isn't it? Jerry Nicely did. That's what Miss Alice did. Just by their conduct. You know? Now here's something, if your husband don't come to church, and here's something that he didn't say, you can win him with if you'll nag long enough. You just wear him down, you can win him to Jesus. Sometimes that's what Christian women think, and that's never biblical. That's never biblical. But you can win them by your conduct and your good behavior. So anyway, Sarah made a mistake, and she brings her handmaiden in at 75 years old, and she's probably thinking, you know, it's probably past my time. And maybe that's what you think sometimes. Well, if I don't hurry up and help God out of here, it's going to be too late. How many knows God is never too late? He's always right on time. And so you don't have to hurry and help God out. There's a lot of deals I thought over the years that, well, if God don't hurry, I'm going to miss this deal. And some of the deals I thought, oh, thank God I missed that deal. A few years back, we looked at a beautiful horse, and my friend was getting into the horse business, and he has this beautiful stud horse, and he had this mare that he had bred to this stud horse, and so I thought, well, you know, it'd be kind of nice on the side just once in a while to have a little show horse and show it and things. And so I said, well, look, we ought to think about that. She said, well, I love that mare, and it's beautiful, and we just love beautiful animals. We'll go to cow sales or horse sales that have beautiful registered animals, and just to look at them, you know. That's something we have in common and we like to do. And so we thought about it, and it was like $10,000 this guy wanted for this mare. I thought, well, it was a lot of money. But, you know, if you get the right colt, then you can make a lot of money. And so we prayed about it, and I thought, well, I'll just, you know, go ahead and I think this would be a good deal for us. So I went over, and I asked the guy, and I said, I think we're going to take this horse. And he was surprised at us, and I said, well, I just, you know, and I had me a guy that was going to back me financially. He said, I'd like to get into something. And I said, well, I'm going to do this. He said, well, I'll back you in that. And so we were going to kind of team up on it and go and show the little colt some. And so his wife and his daughter just began to throw a fit about us buying this horse. Well, you're selling the best horse we got. And I said, well, that's what you told me. And so anyway, they backed out on us. And then a few weeks later, the colt was born, and it wasn't a paint. And so they couldn't even show the course. That's a risk, isn't it? It's a risk you take. Now, what if I'd have said, well, that's your word, and you're standing on it, instead I'd backed off, and because he said, well, that's what they want. And so we backed off, and then about last year, one of my cousins was looking for a horse, and I said, well, there's a mare that I like. I said, but man, it's very expensive, and so I called my friend. He said, well, it's not near as expensive as it used to be. And they bought the mare with a colt and another colt that the mare was carrying for like $3,000. I said, well, you offered me for 10. Well, that was you, though. That's way back then, you know. And I'm thinking, thank God for patience. Thank God that we're not, you know, this is what you said, and I hold you to your word. And thank God. Sometimes God just protects us from ourselves, doesn't he?
Amen.
And so, one of the things that Sarah teaches us is, ladies, when you don't have patience, you have to live with the consequences. Remember what Hagar had? She had an Ishmael. An Ishmael is something that is not God's promise. It's something we produce ourselves. It's something that we can have if we want to pursue it, but it's not a God promise. And it's going to be more of a problem than it is a blessing. How many knows that Ishmael is the reason our men are over there right now? That's his descendants. And we're fighting right now. Now, the Arab people are wonderful people and loving people, and there's some great ones. You know, some of the ones that own the stores around here and things are very good individuals. But I'm just saying that's what Sarah created, because she tried to help God out and not have patience. God said, not only at 75 can I bring my plan through you, I can bring my plan through you at 90. So have patience, lady. And then the last thing I want to talk to you about is having faith. And I want you to have faith like Miss Job had. How many members Miss Job? How many members her famous one-liner? I want you to have faith like that. See, we always remember people, don't we, but what one little line that they said. Now I want to say about Miss Job and her faith. It's for our mothers today, okay? Miss Job and her faith, that's what we see when we think about her. And how many knows if God had opened the book on you and was getting to read your story and you'd just lost all your children and all your wealth that your husband and you had worked for, and you looked at your godly, righteous husband that you lived with every day and you knew he was a godly, righteous man, and they opened the book on you, what would they see? Would they see you at your best? Would they see the real you? I don't think so. It'd be hard enough to lose one child, wouldn't it? Let alone 10. She's lost 10 children and all of their wealth, and now her husband is being covered with boils and he's almost unrecognizable. And they open the book on your life. Can you imagine how terrible that would be? What you would look like and what you might say? But here's what I want to talk to you about faith of Miss Job. Remember when the sickness is over and the time for God's blessing and His hand has come upon him again and now he's going to be blessed? Job has to pray for his friends that come over and criticize him and think he's living in sin. And all of a sudden, Miss Job's back in the picture. She doesn't leave, and although she had a weak moment, and how many ever women, moms in here, has had a weak moment? Let me see your hand. How many would not like for us to quote your weak moment phrases? Let me see your hand. Okay. Yeah. You
like it.
You do it. I do it anyway. Well, it's one of the hazards of being a pastor's wife. She's told people for years, I'm his best, worst example. But boy, is her reward going to be great in heaven for putting up with me all these years.
Amen.
Hey. That's the strongest amen I've got. Yeah, we deserve each other. There you go. That's what I think, too. Here's what I want to, you know, when they talk about the blessings of Job, and I talked to one of my professors the other night about this. He's talking about, and Job was blessed with double everything. I said, you know, the real hero in the picture, and the one that's got the faith to me is Miss Job. And he looked at me and I said, can you imagine being Miss Job and you've lost everything and your husband's health is finally restored, but he's just got all these scars from all those boils and stuff on his body, and now your friends are coming by and they're giving you money and the blessing process is starting back up and all. But can you imagine when your Job lived to be 140 something, and can you imagine when the blessings are being handed out and ladies, God looks at you and says, now your blessing is you're going to have 10 more children. If you were Miss Job, here's what you'd do. Say what? I thought I was getting blessed. I mean, those 10 more children means 10 more pregnancies and 10 more times of labor. How many ladies say, oh, now that would be a blessing? I think the real hero and the real one with faith is Miss Job, don't you? To say, when he looks at her and says, 10 more children. And she says, well, God's going to bless us. And it talks about Job's daughters being the most beautiful daughters in the land. And so in their old age, she's going to not only stay with him, but she's going to bear 10 more children in her old age. Not one like Sarah, but 10. And what I want to talk to you about, or close with, is this. It may seem like the blessing that God wants to give to you sometimes may come into disguise. It may look like there's pain involved and there's sacrifice. But you know what? When it's in the midst of God's will, it's a blessing if you'll look for the blessing. It's a blessing if you'll look for it. Sometimes when you're having a conflict with a loved one or a husband or somebody in the family, I think it can be a blessing if you'll look for a blessing. If you say, what good could come out of this? And how can I show in this argument or this tense moment, how can I show Jesus Christ? How can I show the love and the anointing of Christ so God can take a bad thing and make a powerful thing out of it? How can that happen? can that be? You know, I've told you about Randy and I butting heads time or two over just words and things we say and disagreements. And you know, but through that came a great friendship, a lasting, long-life friendship. But those intense moments are they're intense. They're intense. But God allows us just to keep walking in love and not changing our attitude. That's faith, isn't it? When you do say, curse God and die, or you do curse God and say, I don't even know Him like Peter did, and that's not what really counts. Faith is how do you finish your race. That's what faith is. Do you finish blessed and do you finish strong? And you know, you may have messed up big time, but that's not the point, moms. The point is, how are you going to finish your race? And how are you? Yeah, you said the wrong thing here, but how are you going to finish what you started for Jesus Christ? Miss Job finished well. And I don't know anybody that God curses that gets blessed double with what they've had. So trust the Lord. Be patient and have faith that God can take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. Through Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our moms here today. I just pray that the blessings of the Holy Spirit be upon them. God, I pray that You'll, in the eyes of their families, You'll make them more precious and valuable than gems. That You'll, in their daily walk, that they'll be trustworthy. And they'll be more than their husbands has ever dreamed of, and their families. I pray that You'll help our moms to complement and complete their families in the name of Jesus. That's their